We're glad you're joining us here at NRCC Online. This is a recording of our community gathering, as we do each week, to think together about the spiritual journey. At the end of the lesson, we open the floor for discussion. We'd love to hear what you're thinking, too. Go to our community's Facebook page, post your thoughts.
We begin a lesson today titled, How to Change the World. Now, I posted a few ancient readings on our Facebook page. You can go there and see that. I'm not going to unpack the texts that I put on that page. I really do hope you'll read them because they are important context. What you'll get from this is that as far back as our religious tradition goes, way back into our Hebrew heritage, way back into one step removed from hunter-gatherers, all the way back, an essential ingredient of the spiritual journey, a cornerstone of the spiritual life, has been that we make a difference in the world around us. That is not just true for the need that the world has for a difference to be made, it's true for us as we are in the making of that difference. So it'll take you 2 to 3 minutes to read through those texts on that post. And you're going to see text from the ancient wisdom literature. That's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Job, Song of Solomon. You'll see texts from our prophetic tradition about justice and fair treatment and equal access for everybody. And then if you click the link to the Wikipedia article, you're going to run into one element of the ancient Mosaic Law Code. And that's a collection of laws that were designed to resist the tendency that societies tend to fall into again and again and again to stumble into permanent classes of haves and permanent classes of have-nots. And the term that you'll read is Jubilee. And as you learn about that, you'll get exposed to the idea that this legal system instituted by Moses built a safety net right into the social fabric of that earliest of societies. There was a regular recurring time of land reform. And what that meant is that we did not allow generational wealth to accumulate, and we did not allow generational poverty to accumulate. We began to, in that earliest stage, give each generation equal access to health and well-being. Also, you will discover that the code included outsiders in the social fabric. It was just as true then as it is now that people don't relocate across language barriers. People don't relocate across cultural barriers unless they're driven by need, often desperate need. And so the code insisted that the outsider be granted the same access to communal inclusion that the people of Israel themselves were invited into. So I do hope you'll read those texts over because it is an important starting point for this lesson, which is how do we change the world? That law of Moses, it was the capturing in a legal system of the divine mandate that was given to us through Abraham. So every religious tradition that counts Abraham as our father, and that includes all Jews, and that includes all Christians, and that includes all Muslims, we all have a founding principle. We put it up on the wall. Here's the reason I will bless you, Abraham, so that you can bless all the nations of all the earth. All the nations, all the peoples, all the earth. In other words, any divine blessing that you and I receive, it is not given us for our exclusive use. No, each blessing is given us that fits as it fits into a larger picture. We, on the spiritual journey, are on this journey to develop the capacity to bless all the people of all the nations of all the earth. Not just the ones that pray the way that we pray. Not just the ones that look the way we look. So I posted those texts to reinforce the ancient wisdom that from the beginning, this spiritual journey of ours has had baked right into it the expectation that we will and that we will be empowered to be able to change the world, make a difference. When spiritual people walk the earth becomes a better place. That's the point. And that's the point that each generation has found their way back to when we find our way again. Goodness sakes, have we lost our way? But that's kind of not the headline. The headline is that when we find our way again, this is where we find our way back to. We leave the world better than we found it. We heal. We empower. We encourage. We support. We build. We help. So it's going to be a lesson about us, our generation, us taking our place in a long chain of generations, each taking up this divine assignment. Change the world. Make a difference in the world. Which is going to make it a lesson about here now, small, doable. Because how do you sustain this over a period of time if you don't do it here now, small, doable? It's going to make it a lesson about not forgetting our purpose in the world, because there are a billion distractions that can say this is what matters and pay no attention to that. It's going to be a lesson about not losing hope to scope. Remember that lesson that we did for a while ago. It's going to be a lesson about being careful with our yeses and our noes, like the lesson that we just finished. Because we need to say yes to this, which means that we have to be careful with the other yeses we've said, because every yes is a no. Because this being an integrated part of our lives is a bedrock of our spirituality and our spiritual tradition. Now, as we go through this lesson this summer, it will be helpful, I think, for us to keep in mind that when we look back over our spiritual heritage, the people who have taken up this mandate generation after generation, they were no smarter than we are. And they were no more spiritual than we are. They lived through times that are just as challenging, if not more challenging, than the times that we are living through. Ordinary people, generation after generation after generation, in the midst of their own trials and tribulations, in the midst of their own times of upheaval, walking through ordinary lives, walking on ordinary spiritual journeys, again and again, finding their way back to this ancient mandate, make a difference in the world, change the world. So getting ready for today, I asked a few people, who's made a difference in your life? Who is someone who at a significant time crossed paths with you, and because they did, your world was changed? And one woman in our community responded with several examples, several stories, so I'm going to tell them to you. College, she said, college was a very difficult time for me. To say that I felt lost is an understatement. I felt deeply alone. I felt frightened of life. It was an abyss of loneliness, she said, an abyss of anxiety, an abyss of depression. And at a particularly difficult time, she said, there was a guy, just a normal guy, but this normal guy had a set of people, and this normal guy did belong, and all he did was invite me to hang with them. It was a small gesture. He invited an outsider in, but it fundamentally changed my internal narrative. It gave me a sense of hope, and it set me on a path, and that path, as I've walked it over the years, has changed me. His small gesture was huge for me. And, she said, I imagine for him it really was, here now small doable, but for me, it flipped my experience completely. Another person, she said, a girl, she saw me sitting alone, and all she said was, come over and sit with me. But that small, simple act, she said, turned into a lifelong friendship. I was alone, and then I wasn't alone. Now, she said, these many years later, knowing her as well as I do, and knowing the Enneagram as I know the Enneagram, I realized that hers was a connecting kind of personality. If you're familiar with the Enneagram, probably a heart triad kind of personality. And so, she said, for her, she was just doing what she did naturally. She was just exercising her gift. I'm sure for her, it was nothing big. It really was, here now, small, doable. But for me, it was a door that I was able to walk through. And on the other side of that door, I was able to become a better version of me. I could give my gift. It freed me up to emerge as my healthier self. And one more, she continued. When I was up to my ears in babies, and the stress of life was compounded by my false self instincts coming to the surface all at one time, and to say that life was getting the better of me, that's a very nice way of saying what was going on. And there was a dear woman, and she did something very simple. From time to time, she would invite me out for no kids allowed dinners. And we would talk, and we would be together. And when I walked away, I felt different. When I walked away, I felt sane. Implication being, when she walked in, she had felt insane. Later, she said, when it occurred to me that it was time and that I could really use some therapy, we were at a dinner one time, and she was more accepting of me than I was accepting of me. Because I had a story in my head that people who think to themselves, I should get therapy, are somehow broken. They're somehow weak, or they're somehow flawed. But she helped me see things from a completely different vantage point, because she said, well, good for you. Look at you taking care of yourself, putting things in place that you need to be in place so that you can be your best, so you can give your best to your family and to your kids and to your life. And she said, now I know her. And I know her well enough to know that what she said on those days when we had those dinners, here, now, small, doable. But for me, I was standing at a crossroads in my life, and she met me there, and because she did, I took a path toward healing and toward wholeness and toward meaning. So, this is going to be a lesson about being those people for someone, so that when people meet us in their lives, it makes a difference. So that the world is a different place because we are there. It will be a lesson about being able to occupy that place in our worlds and be there when those moments arrive, those make-a-difference moments, to be there and to be present and to be available and to have what is needed to be able to step into that moment and be able to affect change. Now, here's an important principle to also hold in mind as we work our way through this lesson, and that is that Jesus took the daunting out of this part of the journey. He did it by saying things this way: do a little. Don't do a lot. Do a little. But do that little with intention, and do that little with purpose, and do it with consistency. But just do a little. Because if you'll do that little bit, if you will position yourself to change the world just a little bit, if you'll position yourself to make a difference just a little bit, you're going to access one of the laws of life. And that law is this: do a little and do it faithfully. Do a little and do it consistently, and pretty soon, more is going to find you. And when it does, you'll be up to it. Do a little, and when you do, more will find you. And when more finds you, you'll be up to it. It's a thing. It's one of the laws of life. Make a little difference and do it with purpose and intention, and before long, you'll find yourself making a bigger difference, perhaps bigger than you imagined was possible. Well, that's a thing. I call that a law of life because it's an observable thing. And it's an observable thing because your brain works like my brain. Our brains work a certain way. You can see this dynamic kick in if you ever play a video game. If you play a video game, it starts like this. You have to stretch a little bit in order to master level one. But once you do, level one mastery becomes the new normal. And now it's just Thursday, and level one mastery done. And once you have level one mastery, you can begin to imagine level two mastery, and then you can master level two, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. The key then becomes being in the game. The key then becomes being in the make a difference game. Level one, make a difference. Hear now, small, doable, make a difference. Show up and be in the game. Do that, and our brains will do what brains do, and they will establish a new normal. Level one, make a difference, becomes the new normal. And our eyes open, and our hearts expand, and our minds are able to absorb a new version of normal that has a higher level of mastery in the make a difference game. That's why Jesus used images like mustard seeds, small things that grow into things that are bigger, or yeast, small things that expand to do what we can't even imagine them doing. Every generation who has gone before us started there. Make a small difference, but make it faithfully and make it steadfastly and consistently. And what will happen is you will grow, and your capacity to make a difference will grow. It's a thing. It's an ancient thing. It's a deep truth about reality kind of thing. And it's how the world gets changed. So this lesson about changing the world will begin as a lesson about making a difference in our homes, or maybe about making a difference in our next-door neighbor's home. Here, now, small, doable. It'll begin as a lesson about making a difference in the home of the guy who works in the cube next to you. Or it'll be a start as a lesson about making a difference in our kids' lives, but also making a difference in our kids' friends' lives. And maybe in our kids' teachers' lives. Or maybe the tone and tenor of their school. It's a lesson about looking for, here now small, doable, with intention and purpose, which, by the way, is not hard to find because it is, by definition, here and now and small and doable. And when we find it, by definition, there's time for it. When we find it, by definition, there's energy for it. We're not doing anything we don't have time for or energy for or capacity for. When we find here, now small, doable, by definition, we're going to have the knowledge and the skills and the experience we need to do that thing. And if we do here, now small, doable, and we do it with intention, and we plan for it, and we do it with consistency, and we do it with steadfastness, the testimony of those who have gone before us, wow, I never saw myself being able to make this much of a difference. I certainly couldn't see it from where I was. I had to start down the path first. It's just what Jesus said it would be. Faithful with a little, and sure enough, more shows up. And when it does, more is just as easy as less used to be, because we have expanded. So, introducing the lesson, point number one. Start small, make a small difference, but do it with planning and intention and consistency and purpose. And also do it with an expectation that you are going to grow in the process. Because if I do this today, tomorrow, more will show up. And you won't have to force it. Growth will happen to you. It's what happens when we root ourselves in the laws of life. It's why I use this metaphor all the time. All you have to do is put together soil, seed, sun, and water, and yeah, everything, it takes care of itself. This is one of those dynamics. You just put together the things, and life takes care of the rest. Start small. Start with purpose. Growth happens. The world changes. Lesson introduction point number one. Lesson introduction point number two, the tradition is an interlocking web of wisdom and practice, all of which supports us in this part of the spiritual journey. Because the spiritual tradition gives us a breadth of how to become the kind of people who make a difference in the world. How do we become the kind of people who change the world? You hear us talk about it all the time, work the circle, you know, work the curriculum. These are the things that we do. So you'll see as part of the lesson, part number one will be change the world, you got to change your brain. And how does that happen? And we'll talk through how to become the kind of people who whose brains are fit for the process of making a difference in the world. Part number two will be, want to change the world? We've got to change our relationships, because it turns out that relationships are an essential part, an essential ingredient of how the world-changing dynamic kicks in. And so our tradition instructs us to tap into the power of relationship and to move beyond just the socializing part of relationship to the depths of relationship. And part number three is we will figure out how to change the world when we figure out the power that we all carry. If you've been studying the Enneagram, you're going to run into the concept eventually, if you haven't already, that every personality type somehow gives away their power. And how do we not give away our power? And how do we instead tap into it? Now, I know that when we use the word power, people have a negative reaction to that. And so let me just say that power is not the ability to dominate someone else. That's an illusion of power. Power is not the ability to dominate some circumstance and bend it to your will. That is not what power is. Those are the illusions of power. Common illusions, illusion I held for a lot of my life early on. Power is instead the ability to bring about change dynamics, to change the world. And the tradition teaches us there is a way to power deeply rooted in relationship, but our tradition tells us what power is and what power is not. So when I mentioned on that Facebook post that this is a long way around lesson, point one, two, and three, yeah, that's the long way around. So let me finish this morning with one more story from the same woman. People who made a difference in her life. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you this story. She's not. Because if she was telling you this story, she couldn't possibly say what I'm going to say, because it would be bad form to do that. But it's not bad form for me to say this. Because if you knew this woman, you would know what I know. And that is that she creates space all the time in which people feel safe enough, in which people feel accepted enough and invited enough and relaxed enough and peaceful enough to step into a profound healing dynamic, to be touched by the indwelling spirit, to in the quiet, in the restedness, in the relationship. She creates that kind of space all the time. She's done it with me. I've seen her do it with others. She finds time in her life to do it here in our community all the time, create space for us to move forward in our maturing lives, our spiritual lives, our growing lives. And sometimes she does that even when she's in a tremendous amount of pain herself. Times of her own fear and her own anxiety, her own painful times, she helps us dig out the thing under the thing, the story under the story we tell ourselves that drives her pain, that drives our pain. Which made the last story that she told me all the more meaningful. There was a friend, she said, who opened her home to me and opened her heart to me and opened her love to me at a time when I had been egregiously betrayed. And worse, I was betrayed in a very public way, and I was betrayed in front of a group of people that I thought I could trust. And the experience, she said, completely rocked my world. But this woman, she said, she opened her heart, she opened her home, and she opened her love, and I healed. It's a very simple story, but when I heard it, it occurred to me, I suspect there is no way that that woman who opened her heart and her home could know what was going to happen in the future. I suspect that there's no way that that woman would know the difference that has been made because she opened her heart to the woman who was part of our community. I have seen, I've been the recipient of, and I've seen it happen, the way our community has been the recipient of our woman's kindness having been paid forward from this unknown woman. So it was a small act, but it made a difference. A difference that over time has flowered. And now that difference has been multiplied into a life-giving dynamic, and our community is the healthier because it is. Our world has been changed because it is. One woman opened her house, one woman opened her heart in a way that was here and now and small and doable. And our community is the beneficiary, without ever having known this woman, of her kindness. I heard an old-time preacher say when I was very young, "You can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in a seed." And I think this is that. The spiritual journey that has been outlined for generations who have gone before us. Make a difference. Bring intention and purpose to doing so. Make a difference. Change the world and expect that you're going to grow in your capacity when you do, so that you will be able to make more of a difference later. And join with countless others who are making a difference together, planting seeds that we will never see harvested, changing people who will change people, making a difference in one person's life who in turn will make a difference in the lives of many. That's Jesus. That's mustard seed. That's yeast. That's our tradition. So indwelling spirit, may it be so that in our souls and in our lives and in our community and our city, we tap into this ancient dynamic and live it out in our generation. Amen.
Here's a quick recap of the What Are You Thinking time we did following this lesson. And as we said, we'd love to hear what you're thinking too. Head on over to our community's Facebook page and post your thoughts. You can search Facebook for North Raleigh Community Church Downtown.
When we opened the floor, one of the first people to speak up said nothing about today's lesson. They spoke about last week's lesson and said, "You know, I had a lot of really difficult things, painful things this week, and I've been implementing the meditation." And she said, "It really does make a difference. I am finding that I can access a deeper part of me, a better part of me." I thought that was encouraging. In the first lesson, somebody spoke up after the lesson and said, "You know, I think I just feel a generalized sense of guilt around the things that I do because I'm up to my ears in babies and I don't think about changing the world and I don't think that I haven't got any time for this. I'm balancing my work and balancing raising the kids. I just can't even imagine how I would be part of making a difference." And I said, "Are you serious? Think about the contribution you make to your children every time you teach them about love and affection, every time you teach them about virtue and character, every time you teach them about how to handle difficult times when they arise. That is an incredible difference you are making in the world." And then I said something along the lines of, we draw this distinction in our cultural mindset between activities that earn a paycheck and activities that don't earn a paycheck. And so things like volunteering in places or things like raising children or those things, without us consciously being aware of it, we devalue and minimize the significance and importance that they make in terms of making a difference. And I said, if anything, this lesson was about, it was about the here, now, small, doable things that we do. And my goodness, where do we do that better than with our families, with our children, when we are raising kids? In the second lesson, the conversation went a little bit afield. We started talking about how we think about changing the world through individualistic eyes, and we don't think of ourselves as being an interdependent community of people making change in the world. And the conversation kind of went to how, as our society fractures into smaller and smaller groups, as we become less and less able to work with others and even see one another as part of a greater us, then it forces upon us that visceral instinct to independence. I've got to make any kind of difference that's going to be made on my own, because we don't move into culturally normalized ways of being together, working together. So that was an interesting take on that as we are moving toward the communal practices. We are working toward our capacity to make change in our world through the strength that one another brings to the table through interdependence. That's a recap of the What Are You Thinking time today. Again, love to hear what you're thinking. Head on over to our Facebook page and post your thoughts.
If these recordings help you move forward on your spiritual journey, we hope you'll take an ownership stake in the community and support the health and well-being of the community. You can go to our website, NorthRaleighCommunityChurch.org. The donate button is at the top of the page on your computer's browser, at the bottom on your phone's browser. Thank you.